translation, the occupational activities of a man performs according to his own position are only so much use, are only so much useless labor if they do not provoke attraction for the message of the personality of Godhead. Purport. There are different occupational activities in terms of one's different conceptions of life. To the gross materialists who cannot see anything beyond the gross material body, there is nothing beyond the senses. Therefore, his occupational activities are limited to concentrated and extended selfishness. Concentrated selfishness centers around the personality, the personal body. This is generally seen amongst the lower animals. For some reason it's just... Extended selfishness is manifested in human society and centers around family, society, community, nation, and the world with a view to gross bodily comfort. Above these gross materialists are the mental speculators who hover aloft in mental spheres, and their occupational duties involve making poetry and philosophy or propagating some ism with the same aim of selfishness, limited to the body and the mind. But above the body and mind is the dormant spirit soul, whose absence from the body makes the whole range of bodily and mental selfishness completely null and void. But less intelligent people have no information of the needs of the spirit soul. Because foolish people have no information of the soul and how it is beyond the purview of the body and mind, they are not satisfied in the performance of the occupational duties. The question of satisfaction of the self is raised herein. The self is beyond the gross body and subtle mind. He is the potent active principle of the body and mind. Without knowing the need of the dormant soul, one cannot be happy simply with the annulment of the body and mind. The body and mind are but superfluous outer coverings of the spirit soul. The spirit soul's needs must be fulfilled simply by cleansing the cage of the bird. One does not satisfy the bird. One must actually know the needs of the bird himself. The need of the spirit soul is that he wants to get out of the limited sphere of material bondage and fulfills his desire for complete freedom. He wants to get out of the covered walls of the greater universe. He wants to see the free light and spirit, that complete freedom is achieved when he meets the complete spirit, the personality of Godhead. There is a dormant affection for God within everyone. Spiritual existence is manifested through the gross body and the mind in the form of perverted affection for gross and subtle matter. Therefore, we have to engage ourselves in occupational engagements that will invoke our divine consciousness. This is possible only by hearing and chanting the divine activities of the Supreme Lord. and any occupational duty that does not help one achieve attachment for hearing and chanting the transcendental message, he said herein, is simply a waste of time. This is because other occupational duties, whatever isms they may belong to, are considered to be useless because of their failure to pick up the fountainhead of all liberties. The gross materialists can practically see that his material gain is limited only from time and space, whether in this world or the other. Even if he goes to Swargaloka, he will find no permanent abode for his hankering soul. The hankering soul must be satisfied by the perfect scientific process of perfect devotional service. Om Gyanadharam Nasya Gyanaga Slakaya Dasyutu Yamina Tasmai Shri Gavanaya Smaha Grahila Kalana Mama Shirasi Mandanam Dehi Padavada Mudaram. So, we can see, when looking, I was looking for this purport, and the word attachment, attraction came to me. So I was looking through the Veda base, and where is it now? There it is. Attraction. So, attraction means there must be some, we're attracted to that Krishna is the all attractive. Now, what makes, of course, Krishna's all attractive? Now, in the Nectar of Devotion, chapter 1, Srila Prabhupada, he writes, Krishna is all attractive, but pure devotional service attracts even him. This means that pure devotional service is even transcendentally stronger than Krishna himself, because it is Krishna's internal potency. And then Prabhupada, he lists six characteristics of pure devotional service. Pure devotional service brings immediate relief from all kinds of material distress. Pure devotional service is the beginning of all auspiciousness. Pure devotional service automatically puts one in transcendental pleasure. Pure devotional service is rarely achieved. Those in pure devotional service deride even the concept of liberation. Pure devotional service is the only means to attract Krishna. Excuse me, this sort of fine. No, next one. Yes, right. So, going through those six characteristics, I read through all when I read them, So I just gone to read from a couple of them. And this one is Attracting Krishna. Rupa Goswami has stated that devotional service attracts even Krishna. Krishna attracts everyone, but devotional service attracts Krishna. The symbol of devotional service, now this is, and I'm going to emphasize this point later. The symbol of devotional service in the highest degree is Radharani. Krishna is called Madamohan, which means that he is so attractive that he can defeat the attraction of thousands of Cupids. But Radharani is still more attractive, for she can even attract Krishna. Therefore, devotees call her Madan Mohan Mohini, the attractor of the attractor of Cupid. To perform devotional service means to follow in the footsteps of Radharani and the devotees in Braj, in Vrindavan. To put themselves under the care of Radharani in order to achieve perfection in their devotional service, which Prabhupada states at the end of this purport. The hankering soul must be satisfied with the perfect scientific process of devotional, perfect devotional service. So, according to Srila Prabhupada and Rupa Goswami, if we want to perfect our devotional service and attract Krishna, we have to take we have to follow in the footsteps of Sri Radharani and the devotees, and I'll carry on now. In other words, devotional service is not an activity of this material world. It is directly under the control of Radharani. So if we want to perfect our devotional service and attract Krishna, we have to take shelter of Srimati Radharani. And this what now one time Jayadeva Goswami at Champahatta in Mayapur. He was writing the book, the Gita Govinda, and in his heart, he saw, in his meditation, in his heart, the spiritual vision of Srimati Radharani. And Krishna was begging, please put your soft lotus feet on my head. And now he couldn't understand this, because he just knew Krishna as the Supreme Person of Godhead. He couldn't understand how Krishna is begging Srimati Radharani to put a lotus feet on her head. And then as he was meditating, he was writing down. So he put his writing down, and he told his wife Sita. Sita, I think it was. And so I'm going to take bath in Ganga. So then he left to take bath in Ganga. And then he said, I'll take Shardam after I come back and after I take bath. But when he left, Krishna came expanded himself as Jayadeva Goswami. And of course, his wife thought that it was her husband. And she said, you're back very quickly. He said, yes, so I will take Prasad now. So he took Prasad. And then when he took Prasad, he went into his room. And then according to the Vedic custom, after the husband eats, the wife takes prasadam. So then the wife was taking prasad, his remnants. And then the real Jayadeva Goswami came back and he said, hey, what's this? Are you taking prasad before me? He said, no, I saw you about some time back. Oh? What happened? That you came and took prasad and then you went into your room? So then he said, oh. So then he went into his room and then he wrote, you know, this the verse was Smaragrahilaka namama shirasi mandanam dehi palapada padaram udaram. Oh Radharani, I'm begging, please put your soft lotus feet on my head. And then he went to his room and then he found that Krishna had completed the verse. He only wrote half the verse. So Krishna completed the verse, and he wrote it in golden ink, and he signed it Krishna. And then he realized that Krishna had come. And then he said to his wife, "You are so fortunate that you actually saw the Supreme Person in Godhead." So Jayadeva Goswami, he had the attraction for Krishna. And because of that attraction, that that attraction, Krishna came to him because of his pure devotional service. And now I'll read a little bit from devotional service is rarely achieved. Find it. See you somewhere. There it is, yeah. Rareness in pure devotional service, of devotional service. In the primary phase of spiritual life, there are different kinds of austerities, penances, and similar processes for attaining self-realization. However, if an executor of these processes is without any material desire, still he cannot achieve devotional service. and aspiring by oneself alone to achieve devotional service is also not very hopeful, because Krishna does not agree to award devotional service to merely anyone. Krishna can easily offer a person material happiness or even liberation, but he does not agree very easily to award a person engagement in his devotional service. Devotional service, in fact, can be attained only through the mercy of a pure devotee in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Majjha Leela 19.151, it is said, by the mercy of the spiritual master, who is a pure devotee, and by the mercy of Krishna, one can achieve the platform of devotional service. There is no other way. So we want that the nature of the soul is to serve. So either we can which one is it? This one here. So the nature of the soul is to serve Krishna. And Srimati Radharani is the perfection of that service. So much that she, Srimati Radharani, expands as every gopi, including Chandravali, to serve the transcendental senses of Krishna, to bring him pleasure. But for us conditioned souls who are on the body platform, who are mentioned on the first part of the purport, now I'm going to read a little section from what I get every day. I get something called Quote of the Day, and it's sent by one devotee in France who's a disciple of His Holiness Govinda Maharaj. So yesterday's one applies to this purport here, or the top verse. If someone wants to come down here, he abuses his independence. Those who are in the spiritual world are fully Krishna conscious. They are always engaged in loving service to the Lord and getting superior pleasure. They will never think, let me go there and have some experience, eat stool, how it tastes, ha ha. For one who is tasting nectar, there is no insistence is there. So the conditioned soul, we sit on the bodily platform, thinking, and then we get involved in all these isms, as Prabhupada has said. Communism, imperialism, nationalism, all these sort of things. And so therefore, our real identity is that we are pure spirit soul. And it's covered over, as it says in the purport, it's covered over by the gross material body. And we have to achieve pure devotional service, which attracts Krishna. And that devotional service actually invokes the attraction for the message of Godhead. The message is that if we want to hear and chant about Krishna, we have to come to the level of Suddha Bhakti, pure devotion. And even that is rare. Now, this is another quote from Govinda Maharaj's class. This is actually today's something. Suddha Bhakti, pure devotion, is rare. It is not easily available, but the jiva can get it. Even those sinful persons, those who are afflicted with the three tapas, those who are filled with all sorts of anattas, the wealthy and the poor and fallen persons, the most degraded dog eaters, foolish and the learned, can all get bhakti by the causeless mercy of a pure devotee. So there is no question of disappointment. So we come to the level by the occupational duty of the spirit soul is that we have to serve. So we have to serve and become under the care and under the control of Srimata Radharani, and then that will attract Krishna. Because the acharyas, they all explain, if you want to attract Krishna, Krishna is attracted to those who are chanting the name of Radharani and serving Radharani, and vice versa. You attract Radharani if you are chanting Krishna's names. So then we are doing this by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Because we're asking or requesting Radha and Krishna, please engage us in devotional service. And every Sunday, we come on Sunday, and we read the English to the Tulsi Maharani. And every Sunday, when I'm dressing normally Sunday, but we hear that please give me the privilege of devotional service. And please give me devotional service as the residents of Vrindavan. But we have to have that desire also. That desire has to be there for devotional service. It has to be, the desire has to be there. And that desire has to be come from the heart. That desire that please engage me in service. But our stupid minds, our wicked minds, come up with so many excuses. And this mind is very can bring up so many excuses not to do service. And then, so first we have to conquer the mind. So to conquer the mind, we have to remember Krishna. Well, because when we remember Krishna, then the mind, the material mind, that is, so gives way to the superior, a spiritual mind, because the mind can be spiritually if it's thinking of Krishna. And there's so many, when we think of Krishna, we can, and the residents of Vrindavan are always thinking of Krishna, always. Because when Krishna was going out cowherding with the calves or the cows, they were always thinking of Krishna, that, you know, in some way or other. Now, Mother Yashoda was always in anxiety. Her little boy, a little son, some demon may come and try to hurt him, that his soft feet will be pierced by when these stickers, these fawns in Vrindavan, and the elderly gopis, as they were churning the milk and the yogurt, always thinking of the previous day's pastimes, the cowherd boys would tell their mothers, so their mothers, they would be thinking of that pastime with Krishna killing that demon and that particular demon. And so on. So everybody is thinking of Krishna in different ways, and they were feeling separation from Krishna, and they were just waiting for the time when they would see this big, around dusk, this big cloud of dust coming from the direction where Krishna left. This cloud of dust that means the cows are coming back, or the calves are coming back, and Krishna will be there playing his flute, leading in front. And so we have to follow in that. We can do that by remembering Krishna. There's so many ways we can remember Krishna. And one of them is, of course, the main way is chanting Hare Krishna, the Maha Mantra, reading Bhagavatam, reading Prabhupada's books, and the books of the Goswamis as well, if we're qualified to read them, if we had the adhikar to read them, and because Prabhupada says, he said, to enter Vrindavan, this is in one of the purports in Sri Charitamrita, that to enter Vrindavan means to take shelter of the six Goswamis. And taking shelter of the six Goswamis means reading their books. And then he gives a list of a small list of their books, Lalita Madhava, Advaita Madhava, Bhaktirava Sindhu, and other books, which also are in, of course, Prabhupada's purports. He mentions these books in Prabhupada in his purports. So then, we have to then not just read, but actually meditate on what we're reading, and fully try to realize what we're reading. And then that will transform from there into the heart. And then by the mercy of Krishna, of the pure devotee and Krishna, we will we can come to the Jayadev Goswami, where in his heart he saw this pastimes of Radha and Krishna. If we come to that level, which is a high level, of course, but nothing's impossible. With Mahaprabhu, nothing's impossible, nothing. By the mercy of the Panchatattva, everything is possible. And give you one mundane true example. Some years back, on Prabhupada's landing, one Pandavasena member, I saw him on the Sunday morning. And he was, I can see he was studying for some examination. I've been training to be a doctor for the last 7 years, and I've got really big examination this week, and according to the result I get, I can be a doctor or I can't be a doctor, but I'm really having difficulty in remembering all the stuff which over for 7 years, it's so much to learn, remember. Then I just said to him, just remember the Panchatattva. Just chant the names of Panchatattva, because without the mercy of the Panchatattva, what's impossible will become possible. Without the mercy, what's possible will become impossible. So I just said that. So then he said I'll try it. So then I saw him about 2 months later. I said, "How did you get on?" He said, "Oh," I said, "I got." He said, "I passed with flying colors." I said, "What did you do?" He said, "Oh." He said, the questions, some questions I knew, and the ones I didn't know, or I forgot, I followed your advice, I chanted the name of the Panchatattva, and everything came. So nothing's impossible. So if we want to come to the level of attraction to Krishna, And the attraction of Krishna attract Krishna. That attraction is to put pure devotional service. So we have to remember the Panchatattva and Lord Caitanya. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments or?